Thanks for joining us on episode 1417 of the Inspired Stewardship Podcast.
I'm Rebecca Scott. I challenge you to invest in yourself, invest in others, develop your influence, and impact the world by using your time, your talent, and your treasures to live out your calling. Having the ability to make today just a little better than yesterday is key. And one way to be inspired to do that is to listen to this, the Inspired Stewardship Podcast with my friend, Scott Mader. I would remind you that you are fit to do all of your roles. They are a gift, and that each one of us is going to be a rock star at every stage of life, but you are fit. Stop believing the message that you can't do it. You can, in fact, do it, even if it's at 1%, and I truly believe you can do both, and you can do them both with joy.
Welcome, and thank you for joining us on the Inspired Stewardship Podcast. If you truly desire to become the person who God wants you to be, then you must learn to use your time, your talent, and your treasures for your true calling. In the Inspired Stewardship Podcast, you will learn to invest in yourself, invest in others, and develop your influence so that you can impact the world.
In today's podcast episode, I interview Rebecca Scott. I asked Rebecca to share with you why she doesn't believe that you have to choose either career or kids if you're called to do both. Rebecca shares how she arrived at this place and how you can too. I also asked Rebecca about how you can overcome overwhelm by focusing on the 1%. I've got a new book coming out called Inspired Living, Assembling the Puzzle of Your Call by Mastering Your Time, Your Talent, and Your Treasures. You can find out more about it and sign up for getting more information over at inspiredstewardship.com, Inspired Living. That's inspiredstewardship.com, Inspired Living. Rebecca Scott is a Midwest mama, serial entrepreneur, host of the Encourager podcast, designer, and founder of a handmade purse and accessory brand for 15 years, and she's also a coach for moms committed to helping them thrive in their multi-passionate lifestyle without all the hustling. Welcome to the show, Rebecca.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. I had the honor of being on your show not too long ago and getting interviewed as well, which is great. I'll put links to that as well in the show notes to this one so that folks that come over here can go back over there and check out your show. And we're going to talk a little bit about it today. But before we go there to talk about the Encourager podcast, let's talk a little bit more about your journey, because in the intro, we talk a little bit, you're doing the purses, the accessory brands, you're a mom, you do all of these different things. You're also trying to help other folks do the same sort of thing. But I always think of intros as like the Instagram version of things.
Sure.
You know, you make sure the laundry's not in the background when you take the Instagram picture, that kind of thing. So talk a little bit more about what brought you to this point of putting out your podcast, doing the you do farming, you do this, you do that, your mom, you wear a lot of hats. What brought you to the point of doing all of this?
It's interesting. I'm lucky enough to have a very distinct story. And I think the reason why God gave me that story is so that I would be able to retell it over and over that it wasn't about me, it was about him. And I designed purses and accessories, and I've been doing it for, it was 7 years at that time. And I kept having people, the more children I had, I have four of them, and the more things I was undertaking, they're like, wow, how are you doing this? How are you doing this? Because they'd read, you have four kids, and I'd have a booth full of 200 purses, and they could see my priority list. I have banners, and they're like, wow. I couldn't answer it in the 2 to 3 minutes that we were standing in the booth because I needed them to buy a purse. So it's like, I could tell you how I do it because I kept thinking, I don't understand how I couldn't do it. So they were saying, I want some of your hacks. Like, how are you doing this? But the distinct moment I had is I arrived in a grocery store parking lot to meet a seamstress to give her work for the week because we exchanged. Her finished work she gave to me so I could go finish. And then I gave her the next load. And I arrived with my kiddos, all four of them. It was about 9 a.m. We arrived in the parking lot. That's how we were going to meet. She was a little bit late. She still had her PJs on. The kids were in the back seat. They saw their PJs on. No big deal, but mine were ready for the day. And if you're judging me, just wait until the end of the story, okay? So we get out and she says, oh my gosh, tell me you're not always like this, because I looked put together and ready for the day. And I said, oh gosh, no, we have mornings like that too. And I immediately felt a punch in my gut, because the truth was I was being falsely humble. For the most part, we were ready for the day most days. Now, we are human. We still have mornings like that. But mostly, we did show up ready for the day. And I had things put together enough that I could do what I was doing, which was managing 20 employees and my kiddos and running these brands. And I couldn't help but, I feel like your gut is your God organ. And he was saying something to me, and I thought, gosh. And all of a sudden, I looked at her in a whole new light, and I was like, I can teach you how to do this. This isn't rocket science. I'm not surviving on some magic pill that lets me sleep only 4 hours a night. I was sleeping well. The kids were, for the most part, put together. The brand was doing well. And she was my exact model of who I was. She had three kids. She was trying to sew. She wanted to honor God by doing both work and home life. And she didn't feel like she was meeting the mark, and she just needed a little bit of help. And I could offer that. And so that's actually the moment where I thought, I'll just hop on a microphone on a podcast, before everybody was podcasting, by the way, and thought, I'll just tell people how I'm doing it. And so I did. I just started. And I bet in that first 6 months, I wrote and wrote and wrote and wrote every day, because I thought, oh gosh, these are things that anybody could do. And the truth is, I'm still writing about the same things, about like, they've changed and the systems have matured for myself, and I've been able to let a few things go and then take on different things, but it's still the same ones that I was running that long ago as well. So that's how I got to this point with the podcast and the coaching, is because I had a moment where I thought, wait a minute, I can show her how to do that. And it's been really fun to keep actually still working the same systems that I did back then.
So I want to ask you a question, because you said that people looked at what you were doing and were like, oh, this is impossible. I can't do this. Mm-hmm. And yet to you, it sounds like it, I'm not going to say it came easy, but you had a system and a process and things that you had arrived at that at least worked for you.
Yep. I'd already done the dirty work of how to make it happen, because I was in her shoes. And I told a story where my business was 18 months old. My son was 18 months old. And I ended up screaming at him because he wanted a snack as I was trying to load the van and get all my stuff in it for an art show. And I realized in that moment, it was like, how are we going to do this? I did not have the thought, I'm going to quit. For me, the message was, how can I do both? How can I do both work and home life? And so I ended up canceling the show. And then I set to going, okay, God, I know that you've made me to create, which, by the way, I believe you've made everybody to create. But I did not have the message, I'm going to have to quit and just be a mom for now. I shouldn't say the word just. Please hear that is never the word. But I'll just be a mom for right now, and then later I'll pick it up. I heard the word both. I want to do both, but I can't do it how I'm currently doing it. So then I started the work of figuring out how to do both of them. Canceled the show, started journaling everything I was doing, and then created these systems. So that's the dirty work of, yeah, I was overwhelmed until I really dialed in these things that work. And now it's just secondhand. I can just do it, no problem.
But you didn't start there. That's what I was wanting to get was the important message.
Right. I always joke that it's because I'm actually not disciplined. So I have to put systems in place that allow me not to even think about it. Like, I don't even realize I'm being disciplined, because it's just such a...
It's an ingrained
emotion.
Habit.
Yeah, it's just, this is what we do on this day. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And that's interesting, by the way, because I always tell people, discipline is there to help get you started. But discipline doesn't actually maintain it. What maintains it is systems and processes.
True.
Think about it. Even the gym rat that, I go to the gym 3 times a week and I do it religiously. Or the person that does, anything, eats right. There's actually systems and processes behind that if they maintain it. Mm-hmm. If it's a crash diet or the January signups for the gym that peter out by February, that's... Yes. Yeah, the discipline got you started. The motivation got you started, but it's not what keeps you going.
It won't sustain you 1,000%. 1,000%.
And you need both. You need something to help get you started, but then you need the systems and processes to keep you moving. Mm-hmm. So one of the things, too, that you said is at the point that you decided, okay, wait, I can start helping other people this, do you think you'd already gotten it to a point where, at least from your perception, it was almost the feeling of, but everyone should know how to do this. Everyone could have done what I did and gone through the hard work. Mm-hmm. Or did you think to yourself, oh no, that was so hard when I created my own systems and processes, now I've got to help people do it. You understand what I'm asking?
I think it was in the middle there. So I thought, okay, I've got a new system after I journaled and figured out there's about 5 systems that we all run. Then I started working them and realizing, sweet, this is working for me. I didn't even think about it for others. I was just so excited that I found a method so I could do both work and home life. And then that moment with her, I thought, oh, wait, oh, I could coach this. And then realized after people started listening to the podcast and giving me feedback and stuff like, hey, but what about this? Or, hey, this is my scenario. And then realizing, oh, okay, so this can't be a blanket thing for everybody. I have got to figure out how to make it open enough so that they can make adjustments for their own unique families. And so it ended up being more of a guided tour of their own life. But here's some examples of how I do it. What might this look like for you? So continually turning it over to that person and saying, here's how I do my food system. Tell me a little bit about how you like to do yours. And mostly it's just posing questions so that they have to answer them. Half the time, we don't even know what the question is. So when I put up the framework, then they can do their own thing, but there is a framework for them to work within. So for example, like the food system, I tell them right out loud, if you don't cook and you want to do takeout every night of the week, fine. No judgment, but that's your thing. Or if you want to have your groceries ordered, or if you want to cook 7-course meals, that's fine. Just know that's your food system. So let's work within that. Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that it's that balance of both and, it sounds like, where it's, yes, there's some frameworks and some best practices and some, you know, targets. But within those frameworks and those best practices and the targets, there's also room for,
yes,
but your life is different than my life, and that's okay.
Absolutely. Oh my gosh, absolutely. And we're made to be different and set apart. And so I'm not going to force how I cook in the Midwest on somebody who's on the coastlines and just buys their groceries daily. I can't do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one of my clients 1 year sent me their initial draft budget, and they had $2,000 a month for groceries. And at first glance, that may sound like a lot of money to some people.
Yeah.
They had 9 children and 2 adults. Okay. They had 11 people. So actually, $2,000 a month, I'm looking at it going, right, that's not enough money. How are you doing this? But they did. They had a system that for them, it worked, and they could do it. Because they tell you the average per person is $150 to $250 per week per person is about, okay, quote unquote, that's rule of thumb. So obviously that varies a lot. And if you take 11 and multiply it by 150 or 250, it's like $2,000 is not going to cover it. But then they all of a sudden, or it's just barely in that range. But what did they do? They had other systems and processes that they use that let them get down to much lower prices on things. They grew a lot at home. They did other things like that. So again, that same sort of thing of at first glance, it's like, that seems a little low. And then it's, oh, never mind. That's perfectly reasonable for y'all. Yeah. And and actually the next month it was about $1,200.
Oh, God.
I got it down.
And sometimes you're just not aware of it until you ask them specifically for their family. Okay, tell me, like, this
how do you do it?
didn't work. And then I say, okay, tell me a little bit more about your family makeup. What's going on?
So let's talk a little bit about the faith component of this, because you know, you mentioned a couple of times hearing that feeling from God, that gut feeling for you. I've heard people describe it different ways, but that feeling of, no, wait, I'm supposed to do both of these things. And again, doesn't mean somebody else should get that same message. They have to do both. They may be having a different direction.
Absolutely.
But for you, you were hearing that resonate. I need to do more. I need to do both of these things. How did your faith journey evolve as you went through these different stages of struggling with it, mastering the systems, and now helping other folks?
I'm still developing it. I'm still always learning from God. And I think he has a really big sense of humor with me in particular, because I'll do things and I'm like, dang it, I know I've already done that and messed it up before. But my faith has gotten to a point where I really, truly think the more I dial in the coaching and the making and leading my own teams and leading my children of, I think he really paints a different picture for each one of us using the strengths that he gave us. So there is no blanket thing that will solve it for all of us. And so, yes, we can provide as many hacks and as many tools and as many systems, but we still have to be keenly aware of how we're uniquely created and what are the experiences and opportunities that we've been given that he's telling us, this is the nudge of the direction that I want you to go. So I in the beginning thought, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to coach everybody on how it's been working for me. But again, then being reminded frequently of, hey, that's not my makeup, but I still think there's some bones here. Can you help me work this out? Reminded me of, yep, each one of us so uniquely created. And then reminding myself also is that I don't believe that God creates chaos. If you look at nature, the tree grows the same way every time. It's not like the branches are buried in the ground and it grows upside down. It doesn't work like that. So I thought, he's not the one who created chaos and confusion and indecision and overwhelm. So if we model our lives after, and this is again, this is not to be like, it has to be super organized and super military regimen lifestyle. Nope, it doesn't. But there is order. And I think that we can have that. And so throughout this journey, I've learned a lot about what the world tells us is they almost romanticize the chaos. This is a stage of life and isn't it great? Or, oh, we'll just survive and have our vices, binge watching or drinking. And again, no judgment on any of those things. There are moments that we do need to check out and that sort of thing. But I don't think that's from him. I think that's the world telling us just barely get through. And I don't think he wants us to do that. I think he wants us to serve one another really well and gain wisdom from one another about what is working for you. And okay, how did you do this? And how did you do this? I think that exchange of systems and hacks and coaching just from one another, not even from like you and I, Scott, that's what he wants us to do. He wants us to be in community with one another and not lean into this romanticized version of chaos. Mm-hmm. Because how are we going to make any progress on the unique things he's gifted us with if we are just barely showing up?
Right. And I think a lot of times, I'll give you an example, right? What's the most typical answer to the question, how's it going? Or what have you been doing? Mm-hmm. Or that kind of thing. The most typical answer is, oh, it's busy.
Yes.
Busy. It's the busy culture is almost like you get to be proud of the fact that you're busy. Where I tell people, change that word. It's, if the word is just busy, just means doing a lot of things. Mm-hmm. Productive means actually doing the things that you're supposed to be doing or want to be doing or need to be doing. So if you're productive, it's good. If you're busy, maybe you need to look at that a little bit more. And it sounds like you've done some of that same thing of helping people slice out, because it's part of your, it's part of the coaching that you do. Helping people figure out what to say no to as opposed to what to say yes to.
Yeah. I was just laughing as you were talking there thinking, I've also been super, super humbled with the podcast process. I lay a system out there. I'm 250 episodes in. So there's some of the beginning ones that I'm like, I got to re-record that. You guys don't do that one. That one doesn't work anymore. You know what I mean? Like, whoops. So I feel like I can never stop my podcast because I need to keep telling people, hey, permission here. We've evolved that one. So that I can make sure that these are still overarching and working for all the different unique situations.
And that is, it does evolve, not just for you personally, but then as a coach, you learn better questions, you learn different things to look out for. And how do you usually find them? By not knowing them.
Oh, yeah, for sure. For getting on quick and being like, hey, guys. And sometimes they're not even a clarification on my own systems, but on a message that's being put out there by the world. Where I'm like, no, do not. This is not true. You were fit to do all these roles. And there's a lot of, I'm really overwhelmed. I don't know why I have all these roles. There's a lot of like elimination. Just get rid of them. Right. Well, that's not always an option to just get rid of them. But do you not think that the God of the universe saw you fit to do these roles? Mm-hmm. He does. He sees you fit. And so I don't like the messaging that you can't do it all. Because while I don't think you can do all of it at once, I still think that if it's been given to you, then there's got to be a way that you can do it. And you can do it with joy, too. We'll just dredge through. I'm like, how miserable is that?
Right. Yeah. When the difference to me is, because I agree with you on the elimination culture, the idea of just, you can't be a mom and have a career, or you can't, that it's very absolutist can't. Mm-hmm. But I would say with the choices, and you give me feedback on this, mm-hmm. when you, if you choose and you're called to do both of those things, that does mean that there's probably within your life other things that maybe you'd like to do in a perfect world. Oh, yes, I'd get to do that too. But right now I can't, because I need to say no to that, because I'm saying mm-hmm. yes to over. It is important that I'm called to do these two roles, and I need to mm-hmm. say yes to the things that are most important, that I'm most called mm-hmm. to do. Is that?
Yeah, is that absolutely accurate? I also think too, rather than eliminate, because there is seasons where you will need to say that is not a position or a job or whatever that I can take on right now. But I'm a big proponent. I think this will be written in my tombstone, is she 1%ed it. In that season with Gus, my oldest, laying on the floor asking for the snack, and I had to scream at him, I really took away from that. What can I do at 1%? Well, 1% was canceling the show, which is probably more like 60%, because they never invited me back for six more years. It was a big thing. But anyways, I thought, how can I just 1% this creative business? So, well, I could do one show every 6 months instead of six shows. Like, how can you take those roles that you've been given, even though you have to pause on them for a little bit, could you sustain them at just 1%?
Mm-hmm. And the neat thing is, though, that a lot of times if you show up with the 1% with a real focused, intentional way, you can still get a lot of good results, even mm-hmm. though you're not showing. In other words, I think sometimes we make the mistake of confusing quantity with quality.
Oh, gosh, I could go on and on about that with kiddos for sure. I have a lot of, obviously, moms that I'm coaching, and they think quality. I think some families altogether think quality, like a quality vacation, whether that's to the mountains or to the beach or to Disney World or wherever that looks like. And I always think it's got to be quantity. I think parenting is about quantity. It's the amount of time we're spending with them, rather than the quality. Yes, they'll remember that amazing vacation you went on. But I have a feeling, and I know it because my kids say it, and I recall it from my children, my biggest memories are the everyday stuff, the amount mm-hmm. of time my parents spent with me. And whether that was cooking or baking or riding horse or the sheer amount of rodeo stories I have with my siblings, just on our own farm, not on an official rodeo. Like, those was because of the quantity, the amount of time we were spending with one another, not the quality. Mm-hmm.
So when you think about those folks that are in that situation where right now they're feeling called to do multiple roles, but feeling stuck, feeling overwhelmed, feeling frustrated, mm-hmm. what are some of the things that you would say to them to just get started?
Yep. I would say just 1% it. Maybe take a look and go, what would 1% look like? Is that a Google search, a phone call, an interview? And then what do I think I have room for 10%. Okay, well, what would 10% look like doing that? What would 50%? And then the next thing I want you to confess to yourself and to your family so that they honor it: I am thinking about pursuing this. Just those words alone piques everybody's interest of, oh. And then you can ask them, hey, what would this look like if I did this at 1% or 10%? Like, I'm going to reserve every Wednesday night from 7 to 10 p.m., which is something I did for 7 years. I asked my whole family, and they were little kids, so they thought it was fun to have a vote. Mommy's going to work from 7 to 10 on Wednesday nights to grow my business so that I can have some help. And so then that meant I didn't go to youth group with the kiddos because mommy was working. That meant dad was going to cook supper and dad was going to do bedtime. So it was fun because that was like mac and cheese night because it was dad's night. But just me saying that to my family allowed everybody to honor and understand what I was trying to pursue. And then I backed it up with like why I wanted to pursue it. I want to continue to stay home with you guys. So in order for mommy to do that, I've got to sew some purses that sell. And because this is my goal, this is my why, I want to stay home. And so if you're feeling that overwhelm and you're like, gosh, I do want to do this, but I'm just not sure what it looks like, first of all, play around with the idea, but start talking about it with your loved ones. Start saying, this is why I want to pursue this. This is why I'm feeling strong about it. Because I help define for yourself, what is the why behind it? What is the pursuit? What is the going to be the reward? Even if it takes 10 years at 1%ing it. And it may not. Chances are you usually get a little bit of momentum. when you honor that feeling in that role, but it may be 10 years. And that's individual for everybody who's pursuing it.
Mm-hmm. But also depends on what is your target.
Yeah. Okay. Yes.
In other words, if you want a business that can keep you home, yeah, in your case,
yeah,
but that's going to look different for somebody else in a different, mm-hmm, situation too. Mm-hmm. What level of business, yes, is that?
If absolutely
that
makes sense.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Uh-huh. What level of success do you want with it? What level of satisfaction do you want out of it? 100%.
I hear people all the time say things like, I want a full-time business. And I'm like, okay, great. What do you mean by a full-time business? Define, mm-hmm, that. They're like, isn't that obvious? And I'm like, no, it's not. You know, full-time business, right, can mean a thousand different things to a thousand different people. What do you mean when you say full-time business? We say things thinking that we're being definitive when, yeah, no, that means a lot. I've worked with a lot of different people and their businesses all look different and they all describe them as full-time. So, yeah, what do you want it to look like?
One of the things that I really like telling people is to time everything that they do. And I'll leave that for another conversation because it could go on and on. But in this instance, if you had people say, I want a full-time job, and you actually had them time how many hours a week they're putting at it, it can go both directions. And I've seen this so often in my coaching when they're like, oh my word, I'm actually only doing 6 hours of work a week. By the, mm-hmm, time I feed everybody, do all my home system, get everybody to all their things, I'm actually only working 6 hours. And I always think, oh, that's okay. Like now, so do you want to change it? Do you want to lessen it? What do you think? And they're like, I just got to get more disciplined. Okay, we can have some systems and hacks to do that. Or it's the reverse. And they're like, I'm putting 60 hours towards this. What am I doing in those 60 hours? So then we're like, okay, is there room to hire some help in there? Are you completely wrecked and you cannot continue at the 60 hours? Mm-hmm. Maybe you need to dial back to 40 hours and what part of things? So it's always an interesting thing when you're pursuing something is, and see, I want a full-time business. Let's talk about how many hours are actually being applied, mm-hmm, to what you're doing.
Well, and a lot of times what it turns out is they want a full-time income. That doesn't, yes, necessarily mean they want to work full-time hours.
Right. That's a whole other thing, right?
Which is a whole other conversation altogether, because you can do both of those, but it does, yes, require, again, knowing, mm-hmm, that's what you want to create, because otherwise, a lot of times, we'll fill up any available time with stuff.
Oh, for sure. It's important. And I'm sure you would say this as being the encourager for stewardship is like the hourly pay. Take note of the hours you're applying to it and actually what is coming back to you.
Mm-hmm.
So be a good steward of the time you're putting to it and the money that is being returned, because they may be way different in your head than they look like on paper.
Right. Yeah. And I've done similar exercises with people to really dive in and measure how long things are actually taking, yes, and what are you actually doing in that time? Yeah. You know, because, mm-hmm, are you scrolling Facebook or are you actually, right, working?
Creating the,
know,
post.
Mm-hmm. You know, because, mm-hmm, I'm working, but what you're really doing is scrolling Facebook. Okay, then let's admit, yes, that. Let's put, yep, that down on paper and say that out loud and then decide if you want to fix that or not. Do you want to change that or not? Like you said.
Yeah.
So I like to ask a few questions of all of my guests. But before, mm-hmm, I go there, if you think about that listener out there that's hearing what we're talking about this morning, mm-hmm, what else do you want them to know or to hear before we go to those questions?
I think like what we said earlier is that I don't believe we need to live in constant chaos. I think there are stages that can be a little chaotic, but I don't think it should be sustained chaos. And so if I had to remind everybody, I would say that the roles that you've been given are each one of them a gift, whether that's a wife, a mother, a daughter, a volunteer, a teacher, whatever those roles look like in your life, they are a gift and you are in fact fit to do them. They may feel overwhelming, but you have got to figure out then some systems and some simple things to make that there. But don't think that you are not fit to do them. They are yours because he wants to see you be fruitful in them. And I don't think it has to be a level of chaos that is super stressful.
Mm, absolutely. So my brand is Inspired Stewardship, and I run things through that lens of stewardship. But that's, mm-hmm, one of those words that I've discovered over the years means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. And, mm-hmm, you used it earlier as well. So, yeah, when you hear the word stewardship, what does that word mean to you?
honoring the roles or honoring the things that we've been given. So I use it frequently with the kids because it seems like a big word, but it's really not. So I hear my kiddos say, we have to be a better steward of our time. That's my bossy oldest, right? Telling the rest of them. But I think it's honoring the things that we've been given and the time. I think it's even honoring time that we've been given. How can we be a good steward of this? And steward makes it feel like a holy term. And so I think it also involves Jesus when you say the word steward. Oh, okay. So this is a gift. And how are we going to use it and even pursue it? Like, how do we be a good steward of our time? I don't think it's just of money, as I'm sure our whole podcast is about. It's about all the things. But being a good steward is a very common phrase in my household, to just honor it, honor the role, honor the thing, honor the project. How do we be a good steward of what we've been given? Mm.
So this is my favorite question that I like to ask everybody. Imagine for a minute that I invented this magic machine. And with the machine, I could pluck you from where you are today and transport you into the future, maybe 150, maybe 250 years.
Okay.
But through the power of this machine, you were able to look back and see your entire life and see all of the connections, all of the ripples, and all of the impacts you've left behind. Mm-hmm. What impact do you hope you've left in the world?
I said I already wrote it on my tombstone, is that I think you can do all dreams at 1%. And I think it'll be like, oh yeah, it did just start with that simple phone call. I thought that meant nothing. I'm like, nuh-uh, that was the tiniest thing that you could do from the nudge that you knew in your heart you were supposed to start pursuing. So I would look back and be like, man, imagine all the little tiny 1% seeds that were planted by me talking about 1%ing it all the time. That's what I would hope to look back at, is like, she taught me how to live a dream 1% at a time.
Mm. So what's coming next? What's on the roadmap for the rest of the year?
My gosh, hold on. I just thought of something.
Oh, okay.
This might be a little bit creepy, but it gives permission for everybody. I read my obituary about 3 to 5 times a week. And some of you have probably heard that. But one of the things in my obituary also, it says that people would leave her with a renewed sense of joy of what they too wanted to accomplish. And so when you see the roles that I run and all the things, and then you see me in my brands being goofy and dressing in costumes and stuff, I have a lot of joy while I do it. And I think that is possible to have a bunch of joy, but that people would see it or listen to the systems and go, they'd have a renewed sense of joy of what they too want to accomplish. It may not be what I want to accomplish or on the level that I want to accomplish it, but they're like, you know what? If she can do it and she can do it with joy, maybe that's possible for me. So that's how I would better answer that, is I want to leave them with a renewed sense of joy of what they too want to accomplish.
Okay. I think both of those answers are good. And by the way, it is my version of the obituary question, but asking people what do they want in their obituary tends to creep people out. So I ask a more positive way.
God, I'm going to borrow that, because people do get weirded out when you say
it's weird when you say, please write your obituary. And I used to do that. Now I ask them this question instead, because it seems a little softer way of asking it.
Yeah.
Again, what's coming up? What's coming next on the roadmap for you?
Oh, goodness. I'm still making a lot of awesome custom purses, and I'm enjoying doing that. I love to see people come alive when they create something beautiful. So if you'd like to visit designyourownpurse.com, I think you'll have a really good time picking out something awesome. And I can't wait to keep encouraging and coaching people. So if you go to theencouragerpodcast.com, there's loads of different options on there. You can listen to my book. You can join my academy. It's 6 hours or less of a digital course. 6 hours, you guys, it's one weekend. That's when we just do 3 hours here and 3 hours there. You can listen to it while you're traveling somewhere, and it will just help you with a renewed sense of joy, and that there is a method that can work for you. And then also, I have a membership group as well, and that's been really fun, just to coach in little bits, because I think we're a little bit overwhelmed with content, right? Nobody needs any more content, but we do need action steps. And so ours is very focused on practical things you can do immediately after the 1 hour of coaching. And meat goats. If you really want to know, we farm and ranch, and now we're thinking about getting meat goats as well. So that's a new thing too.
And meat goats are coming.
Yep. Nobody else has said that on your podcast, Scott. So that was my personal mission.
No, that's a new one. I have not heard that sentence come out of anyone's mouth over the years. That's definitely for sure. Of course, you can find out more about Rebecca, as she said, over at theencouragerpodcast.com. I'll have a link to that, to the Academy, to the Design Your Own Purse. I'll have a link to all of that in the show notes as well, and a link over to the podcast. Rebecca, what else would you like to leave the listener with?
I would remind you that you are fit to do all of your roles. They are a gift. Not each one of us is going to be a rock star at every stage of life, but you are fit. Stop believing the message that you can't do it. You can, in fact, do it, even if it's at 1%. And I truly believe you can do both, and you can do them both with joy.
Thanks so much for listening to the Inspired Stewardship Podcast. As a subscriber and listener, we challenge you to not just sit back and passively listen, but act on what you've heard and find a way to live your calling. If you enjoyed this episode, please do us a favor. Go over to inspiredstewardship.com/iTunes rate, all one word, iTunes rate. It'll take you through how to leave a rating and review and how to make sure you're subscribed to the podcast so that you can get every episode as it comes out in your feed. Until next time, invest your time, your talent, and your treasures. Develop your influence and impact the world.